This is the UCEM Good News Podcast, a podcast providing heartwarming and inspirational stories during these uncertain times. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the UCEM Good News Podcast. This wasn't a podcast we were ever planning on doing, but the world has changed since the last podcast we produced back at our Horizons studio in Reading. So a bit of a change, recording this in my home. I'm Andrew Belt, the UCM's PR and social media manager. And the Good News Podcast, what is it all about? Well, times are a little strange to say the least, and we're all in need of a pick-me-up and some good news, and to know that everyone is working out there for the greater good of our fellow citizens. And one such story stuck with me after we had our NUS Responsible Futures accreditation a few weeks ago. Without further ado, I'll explain who the guest is. Our guest is James Doyle. He's a chartered survey apprentice with us on the commercial real estate pathway. He's an assistant valuer for Poole Airy estate agents and chartered surveyors. And he's also a councillor at Sunderland City Council for the Fulwell Ward. So welcome, James.
Thank you very much, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
And pleasure to have you with us, or me rather. So via phone. So moving back to the story for what the inspiration behind this particular type of podcast was, it was speaking to James. James had come down to our Reading office to help out with our NUS Responsible Futures accreditation. And when I got back in touch with him about getting a quote for our social media channels, he mentioned how it had been a busy week for him and he had been out volunteering, which piqued my interest in the current climate, as it was all to do with coronavirus, helping out the local community. But that basically was the breadcrumb, and I wanted to follow the trail and find out a little bit more. So, James, you're volunteering in Sunderland in the Fulwell Ward. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure, absolutely. So, as you've already touched upon, Andrew, I'm a councillor in Sunderland for the Fulwell Ward, and so that's about 5,000 or so households, or about sort of 10,000 people who I represent on the council. And as I'm sure many of the listeners will have seen, there are a lot of community efforts up and down the country trying to get in touch with the most vulnerable people in the areas, in the communities in which people are operating, to try and get food, medicine, or just be a bit of a point of contact for people who have to self-isolate, either because they're at risk or because they are suffering from the symptoms of coronavirus. So what I decided to do in Fulwell, in conjunction with some ward colleagues that I have, is set up basically a sort of coordinated community response. So we decided to put out a leaflet. This was, gosh, maybe two and a half weeks ago now. It's difficult to put a timeline on it because things have been a bit of a blur. But a couple of weeks ago, we decided to put a leaflet out to all 5,000 or so households across the ward and try and reach out to give people contact details and say, we're here, we can be contacted if you need any help. And similarly, if you're somebody who is wanting to help us, if you're someone who wants to volunteer and join in the effort, then get in touch and we'll create this sort of network which will be able to reach out to people who are most in need. So that's what we did. And it was all a very quick process. I'm used to putting leaflets out in my ward as part of my normal councillor duties, but this is quite something else on a much more accelerated time scale. So we put this leaflet out in about 2 days with the help of, at the time, what was about 20 to 25 volunteers who'd got in touch with us through a social networking site called Nextdoor. And after we got that leaflet out, we grew the volunteer network. I think now we're at a stage where we've got over 100 people in the Fulwell area who have got in touch and said, look, I'll lend a hand, whether it be, just to be put in touch with some neighbours who are in need help, or some people are actually providing food, they're donating food, and we've had a lot of local retailers as well who've donated food. and then we've got other people delivering that food to people who are most in need. But I think the most important thing really is just being that point of contact for people. So we got that out. We got those 100 plus volunteers. We've also had, I suppose it is sadly, about 100 plus people who are in need, who do need our help. But thus far, we've managed to coordinate quite an effective response to the pandemic. And as you've probably seen, as your listeners will have seen, we're now moving to a stage where government and local authorities are taking more of a centralised approach to the provision of aid to people who are in isolation, who are in need. And so what we're currently doing is we are using the body of contact details and data that we've collected over the past couple of weeks, and we're in the process of passing that over to Sunderland City Council, who will then hopefully be able to take that forward and pass that information on to the many thousands of volunteers who have answered the government's call to lend a hand in their area. And indeed, I think pretty much all of our 100 plus volunteers have already signed up for that. So very fluid situation, and things are changing all the time. But what is certain is that we have forged these connections between neighbours, allowing those people who are really isolated and who are at risk to benefit from some help. So that, I think, in a nutshell, is what we've done. Hopefully I haven't rambled on too much about it.
No. It's really fascinating, and you know, to get the kind of inside track on what this, you know, what it all means, how you managed to do it, how many people have come forward, and also, like you say, how many people also are gaining that support from the network. So, you know, really fantastic to see communities all sort of working together to help those most vulnerable in the community. I mean, you mentioned this was, what, two and a half weeks ago? So on a day-to-day basis, since, you know, getting in touch and looking for volunteers and to locate those needing support, what has it been like the last few weeks for you?
It's been pretty hectic. we have, just as councillors generally, been deluged with updates from our local NHS trusts, from our voluntary community sector network, which is a group of people in the different areas of Sunderland who, you know, come together and provide youth services and whatnot. So we're getting a lot of updates from them. I'm getting a lot of correspondence from people who haven't seen this leaflet that we've put out, but they are getting in touch with me anyway as a matter of course, and asking if they can access any help from the local authority. And then, of course, we're getting the huge influx of emails and calls from people who have been in receipt of the letter. You know, thankfully, I'm not the only one doing it. We have an incredible team of people, a core team of maybe three or four, who are taking the brunt of the calls and who are sort of forging these networks and putting volunteers on the one hand in touch with those in need on the other. It's been as hectic as it might have been, but nevertheless, it has been rather stressful. And of course, as well, when you factor in the fact that I'm at work still, so I've had to really help to sort out the working from home arrangements that we've all got in the office, because we're only a very small practice. So there's been that aspect to it as well, which I've sort of had to put to the side of my mind a little bit, so I can focus fully on helping my local residents. But I think in a word, if I had to be forced into describing it in one word, it would be hectic the last couple of weeks. If it indeed has been a couple of weeks, I mean, it feels like a couple of years, but that's the way I'd probably put it.
I mean, yeah, and fantastic, you know, great that you're doing all this. And like I say, for me, reading these news stories about how people have come together and then look to help others in their community, obviously getting behind the NHS as well with the recent clap for the NHS, things like that have been really great and really, really good, I think, to cheer people up at this present time. I mean, when you first were voted in to be a councillor at Sunderland City Council. I mean, you would never have foreseen something like this. But now that it's upon us, you know, dealing with it, you're getting straight out into the community to help people. I mean, how does it make you feel to see that response? Because I believe I have looked at your Sunderland City Council profile, and it's Fulwell is a place you've lived your entire life. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I've lived in Sunderland all my life. I spent a couple of years in the neighbouring area of Roker and Whitburn, but that was only for a couple of years, and I've lived in Fulwell, where I live at the moment, for about 17, 18 years. But it is really heartwarming to see the response that has been forthcoming from all of my residents, because as much as I am someone who, I suppose, just by virtue of what I do, is active in the community, you don't still get to see very many people. You know, a lot of people now communicate over emails, communicate over the phone. And whilst we've been forced into that, the sort of methods of communication because of the pandemic, what we're also seeing is, you know, real bonds being forged between people. And it's really encouraging to see. And undoubtedly, in Fulwell, as in the rest of the country and the rest of the world, you know, we have already been seeing the awful consequences of the virus. And one story in particular, which just come to light in the past couple of days, is that a former ward colleague of mine, in a different political party, but who represented Fulwell between 2015 and 2019, sadly passed away a couple of days ago after contracting coronavirus. And that was really, I think, something that hit home with a lot of people, because that was a woman who had served the community for 4 years and who was very well known. And so it brought it home to a lot of us that this is going to be quite a difficult and long drawn out situation that we're going to have to contend with. But that aside, and that horrific story aside, I think it is really encouraging to see the community coming together, as it always does, but certainly more so now than it ever has done in the past.
I mean, thank you for sharing that story. It's, I'm sorry to hear that, and you know, unfortunately, there will be, you know, such stories across the world, as it will affect people in such a way, and there will be illness. But you know, as much as anyone can do to help and support, you know, that's the thing which is really coming out of it. And you know, you do hope that everyone comes out of the other side, you know, stronger and hopefully with as few casualties as possible.
And I think you're right, and I think we will. But it's just going to be, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, but I think we will definitely come out of it on the other side, and we'll be stronger for it.
And with more community efforts like is going on in Fulwell and all across the country, then that's what's needed. And hopefully we'll be seen throughout the crisis for better days ahead. So this is what this podcast is all about. We're trying to seek out the good news stories, and it's really heartening to hear what's going on in Fulwell. I mean, whilst you're here, I mean, that's really the main thing I wanted to talk about with you and really go into that story. But, you know, it's also just interesting to hear a little bit more about yourself, because, you know, being a counsellor on top of working and studying is, you mentioned it's been hectic the past few weeks, but maybe hectic is something you're quite used to.
Well, certainly I've had adequate preparation, I think, perhaps is the right word. I mean, on the council, you do have a lot of different committees that you sit on. So, just I suppose to give a bit of a flavour, I sit currently, because the committees are allocated differently every council year. But this past council year, I've sat on the North Area Development Control Subcommittee, which deals with planning matters in my part of the city, the Shadow Carbon Reduction Board, which is something we might sort of get on to talk about, but that's really a bit of a lead into why I am so interested in sustainability, and that board is looking to achieve the city's very ambitious goal of becoming net zero by 2030, which is, you know, is extraordinarily ambitious, but that's what that board is there for. So I sit on that as well. I'm on the Standing Advisory Council for Religious Education in the city, the Homelessness Appeals Panel, and the Appointment of the Governors Panel, where we appoint governors to all the different local authority schools in the city. And I'm also a governor myself at the local school junior school. So I've got all those sort of little sub-responsibilities, if you like, which then overlap your sort of core responsibilities as a councillor, which is just taking queries from residents, trying to pass them on to the relevant council officers, trying to achieve really positive outcomes for the residents that you represent. So that's all going on. And then, yes, as you say, I've got university work and my day job as well, which is full time. So it is at times very stressful. And at times, I think I haven't had too many of these occasions, but they do crop up every now and then when you sort of sit at about 11, 12 o'clock at night going through your emails and you sort of think, goodness me, why do I do this? But when you when you get those little wins, or you get those little moments where you genuinely help someone with their daily lives, you genuinely help someone with, whether it be, I know, their accommodation or their council tax, or you sorted something out for them in their local street with, you know, whether it be the road surface or whatever, just because it can't even be something as mundane as that, and they are, you know, so genuinely positively affected by that. That's really what makes it all worthwhile. And you sort of think, you know, those late nights and those stressful moments are worth it. And of course, as well, it's incredibly rewarding in another respect, because if you're someone who's really opinionated like me, then you can try and actually affect change in line with those opinions that you hold and that you've held for many years. You can go into full council, which is where all the councillors meet and vote on things like council tax and capital and revenue budgets, and you can put your say forward and say, well, actually, this is how I think something should be done, and this is how I want my city to be run. So it does offer an immense opportunity to be able to affect change and to make a difference. So it is worthwhile, but it is incredibly hectic. So I will concede that.
I mean, the next question I had, I think you've probably answered just in your answer before, you know, where you're saying that what appeals to you with your council work is helping people, but also the ability to affect change in line with your, you know, personal beliefs. And, you know, the next question was going to be, why did you become a councillor? But that seems to be two fairly solid reasons. I mean, are there any other reasons which prompted you to get involved?
Well, I suppose, as I sort of said, I am obnoxiously opinionated, so it seemed like a natural sort of fit, really, to go into local politics, because I've got a view on lots of different things. And so it seems to me, I think I probably had maybe 3-4 years ago a moment of realisation when I thought, you know, it's all very well sitting around espousing these opinions and complaining about things. Why don't I get off the sofa and actually do something about it? And that's really why, because it does annoy me sometimes, and you see a lot of people who sit around and complain all the time but don't do anything about it. So, well, I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be someone who gets stuck in and actually does their very best to try and see change happen in the way that they want it to. Mm. So that's probably why. But yeah, I'm dreadfully opinionated, and I like to have an argument, so that's facilitated quite quite well in my council role.
Yeah, probably plenty of opportunities for arguments, I would have thought, as well, in the council chambers. So that gives us a good, you know, indication, you know, so it's acting, it's standing up and being counted, and, you know, it's a really active role to get forward your opinions and also to represent your ward. So that's on the council side. Then there's your job. So assistant valuer for Poole Area Estate Agents and Chartered Surveyors. So assistant valuer, what does that mean? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, we're a very small practice. We've only got one stroke, two chartered surveyors. It's a bit of a complicated setup, but we've basically got one chartered surveyor and an office of about four or five people. And we deal in the residential agency side of things, and that's not something I get involved with that much, but we have that arm of the business. And then we have the professional services side of the business, and that's where I really operate. So we have a whole host of different services that we offer: residential surveys, development appraisals, red book valuations for help to buy loan redemptions, for example, inheritance tax valuations. And so what I do really is, I guess I'm a bit of a jack of all trades, really. So I will help in the preparation of things like market valuations, development appraisals. I'll do a lot of the research. I'll write chunks of reports as and when is required. I suppose the majority of my work there is connected with the research and collating different bits of data to hand to the chartered surveyor, and then we'll go together and formulate a report. But then, in addition to that, I deal with the company's accounts. So quite boring, I suppose. But yeah, I deal with invoicing, I deal with accounts. I deal with a block of student accommodation that we have built onto the back of our office. And I manage that, and I take care of any tenant repair issues or disputes that go on there. And then I also, if I do have a spare moment, I'll deal with the sort of the legal exposure of the company, if you like. So I'll go through all of our contracts that we have, our terms of engagement, and I'll also then go through any court processes that the company's involved with, if it's, you know, small claims, the small claim that we've issued, you know, I'll deal with that and I'll follow that through. So it is really very varied, but most of my time, is spent in the sort of professional services side of the and then just answering any general queries that people have over the phone as well.
So multifaceted, we would say after that.
That's a very, very neat way of putting it. Yes, multifaceted.
And of course, you're studying on our Chartered Surveyor Apprenticeship. It's the commercial real estate pathway which you're on. I mean, how are you finding that so far?
Oh, incredible. I mean, I've been on the course a year and a half, so I've just started my fourth semester. And, I never cease to be amazed and bowled over by the quality of teaching and resources that are provided for me by UCL. I am not just saying that because I'm on a UCL podcast, but I really do feel as though that the way that UCL has designed their course and their learning materials is really fantastic and suits the needs of people like me who, you know, have jobs, who have to fit their study around all of their other responsibilities. And I feel as though they've done that perfectly. And it is undoubtedly a challenging and difficult endeavour. You know, it's not something that anyone ever said would be easy. But when you do put the work in and you sit down and you get on with it and you sometimes battle with certain issues that you've got and trying to understand something, or you're trying to wrap your head around, you know, this assignment or that assignment or whatever it is, you put in that work and you get through it, and at the end you are rewarded greatly. And so I think overall it's an absolutely fantastic experience, and I'm really pleased that I did that, you know, sign up for the course, because I really don't see how I could have had it any other way. I can't see how I could have studied in any other way and also continue to have all of the different responsibilities that I hold, which means so much to me. So, absolutely remarkable. I'm really pleased with how it's gone, at least thus far.
Well, it's great to hear, definitely. We always enjoy hearing positive feedback about what we're doing, which usually is graduation at the end point, when our students have completed their studies and they get the day to celebrate all they've done and the sacrifices they've made. But great to hear that whilst you're in the midst of your apprenticeship. And allied to that, I mentioned before you came down to our office. So in amidst everything else you were doing, just a few weeks ago before the lockdown was called, you travelled down to Reading for our National Union of Students Responsible Futures reaccreditation effort, which, for those who don't know, is a mark given to universities and higher education institutions for their commitment to sustainability within their resources. We got our accreditation a couple of years ago, and 2 years later, we have our second audit. It's a student-led audit, and what we need for that are students. And James, you were amongst, I think there were 8 students of ours. That's right. who came down to the office. You know, you interviewed members of the team and learned a little bit more about how we try to embed sustainability in pretty much everything we do. I think you travelled the furthest as well, coming all the way. So, you know, great effort on that front. And you mentioned before, you know, your personal interest in sustainability. So, you know, how did you find the whole experience?
It was absolutely fantastic. I think I was maybe tied for the longest journey with a chap there from Cornwall. So he may have had about the same distance to travel, but yeah, certainly joint longest. but it was an absolutely incredible experience, and I responded to the call for students that UCM sent out, and not really knowing what I was getting myself into. You know, I saw the email pop up, and it sounded as though it might be something I'd be interested in, something about sustainability, something about an audit. You know, why not give that a go? It sounds as though it would be a fantastic opportunity to go and actually visit the university, because distance learning students like me don't get the opportunity to really do that very much. So I thought, let's take the opportunity, let's go for it. And I was actually bowled over by what an incredible experience it was. It was engaging, it was really revealing. It revealed a lot about the university, the way it operates, not only how you embed sustainability, which is, of course, the main drive of the audit, and certainly that really shone through how UCM is committed to the sustainability agenda, and to ensuring that basically everything it does has a sustainable focus or a sustainable aspect to it. But to actually find out how the mechanics of the institution work, how it all meshes together to deliver, as an end result, a learning experience, a higher learning experience, and something that I've benefited from. So really fascinating. And, you know, as a process overall, it was, I think I can say quite safely, it was fairly exhausting. You know, it was quite an intense couple of days that we went through. But, you know, unendingly fun, unendingly entertaining as well. And really just brilliant to be able to meet that student, people with whom I'd had communication over the VLE, over the phone, like tutors who had on modules that I'd been part of. And yeah, it was an experience that I'd highly recommend, and I would, you know, jump at the opportunity to take on again.
So if you hear that and think in 2 years' time, as a UCM student, I want to do that, then there's the pitch.
there's the pitch, hopefully, yeah. Maybe reduce it into something slightly more coherent, but yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you're juggling all these many responsibilities, and yet, you know, if you're listening, you might not know, but I think you're a young man. What are you? Is it 20 you are? Or
I'm 21 at the end of this month, next month rather, at the end of April. But yeah, 20 at the moment.
Oh, well, many happy returns for next month.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're only coming up to 21. You're already doing so much. I mean, what are your ambitions, would you say, within both the built environment and politically, personally? It's a big question.
I mean, right now, I suppose, because ambitions change like the sands, don't they? But as things stand, yeah, just focus on my degree, get the degree, get chartered. That's the sort of the headline aim for me at the minute. And after that, I'm thinking about maybe going into further education, maybe doing a master's. I'm not quite sure yet, but that's something I might be interested in. And maybe pursuing education even further than that still, I don't know, but that's certainly something that's on my mind. Politically, I'm, at least at the moment, more than content in serving the people of Falls and the people of Sunderland, and I'm only 1 year into my 4-year term, so I've still got a lot of work to do to help improve the local area in the city. So that's really, yeah, again, my immediate ambition, my immediate goal. Beyond that, I don't know. I am a subscriber to the School of Thought, which says that people in politics should have some life experience. So yeah, I think there's certainly a lot more that I could do professionally before I can even think about politics at any high level than local authority. Just keep on working hard, as I hope I am doing at the moment. I think I am anyway. finishing off my degree, finishing off my council term. I guess those are the two main aims.
Well, yeah, I think asking yourself to do more than that would perhaps be a bit much, considering everything you're doing. But really, inspiring to hear all the things you're doing and just how committed you are to your many different responsibilities which you've taken on at such a young age. So yeah, it's been really, really interesting. Just before you go, however, we always like to end with five quick questions. And for the Good News podcast, it will be based around things you can do around the home, which most of us are doing whilst on lockdown. So beginning now, your favourite TV show?
I don't watch much television, but probably Inside Number 9 is my favourite at the moment.
Yeah, that's the new series, I think, is it still going on or is it just finished?
Yeah, I think it's still going on. Yeah, it was just finished, maybe still going on. But yeah, that's great fun.
For any fans of The League of Gentlemen on BBC, that would they'd be interested in that as well. Okay. Number two, your favourite book?
Oh, that's a very difficult question. I'd probably have to say I'm one of those people with such a short-term regard for books that I tend to name the book that I've most recently read. I'd probably say it's a toss-up between Building and Dwelling, Ethics for the City by Richard Sennett, and Thus Spoke Zarathustra by Friedrich Nietzsche. So they're not quite comparable, but probably those are the two that I've enjoyed the most recently, anyway.
They sound like heavy books, a lot for a lot of cerebral matter to consider. So, all right. And number three is your favourite band or type of music?
Yeah, I've got quite varied tastes. I mean, I'm interested in everything from classical to sort of indie rock and that sort of stuff. But probably favourite band or artist would be a little-known Norwegian singer named Iris. Probably that's my favourite singer, at least again at the moment, but it does tend to change.
Was that Iris?
Iris, yeah, I-R-I-S.
Great, okay. So be sure to check her out. Number four, the thing you most enjoy doing inside the house?
Well, this is going to probably sound really sad, but I do enjoy working in the house, which is, I suppose, really quite a useful preference at the moment. But yeah, I don't do much else in the house other than work, sleep, and I suppose occasionally read or watch Inside Number 9. I guess that's the that's the totality of my existence in the house. So I'm probably going to have to find something else to do, but yeah, I think that's it at the minute.
That's fair enough. Particularly, like you say, with all everything else going on. And the final one, so number five, is the best piece of advice you've ever received.
Well, it's difficult to give a piece of advice that I've maybe received in person, you know, from someone else directly. Certainly something that I've read, which always stays with me, is what's known as Hitchens' razor, one of an epistemological razor from Christopher Hitchens, and it says, what can be asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. And I think it's sort of really why I'm so empirically or evidentially driven. You know, I tend to like the facts, and that's how I form my opinion. So that's probably something I live by. I'm not sure it's quite a piece of advice, but I suppose that'll do with my answer for that one.
No, facts are good, particularly at the moment. getting the facts, exactly. Getting the advice, following it is certainly a good way to live, and to make sure that we're doing the right thing, and that, you know, you're not jumping in with opinions before you've seen the facts on things. So listening to the experts has never been more needed.
Definitely.
So I think a very relevant piece of advice you've just offered there. So I've really enjoyed that, James. Thank you for taking time out of your day from doing what you enjoy most in the house, which is your work. You know, taking part in this podcast has been really enjoyable. So thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, any students listening, please look on the VLE for any advice at all. If you are looking for resources or, you know, just guidance at the moment, there's plenty out there on the VLE. If you aren't a student of ours and you're listening along, continue to follow the government's advice. And above all, stay safe, wash your hands, and listen to what the government has to say currently. So thanks very much. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the UCEM Good News Podcast. For more info from UCEM, follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and/or Instagram.